Glendale, Colorado, General Meetings, September 2nd, 1995, Evening Gospel.
I'd like to open our meeting tonight by singing together hymn number 34. This hymn has a wonderful message in it. It tells us about a foundation. It tells us about the title to glory. And I think it's one of my favorite hymns. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels and for sinners. If you're a sinner tonight, you qualify. I found that I was a sinner as a boy. I was a rebel as a boy. And one day, the Lord touched my heart with a sense of my guilt, but with a wonderful sense of His love to me, and I got saved. And the way I knew that I was saved, the week before I was complaining about going to Sunday school, I thought I was too big a kid to go to Sunday school, you know. I wanted to go play ball with the boys in the park. And my Sunday school teacher, he got to me in a kind way, and he said, "You know, Bob, you're right at the fork in the road. Which way are you going to go?" And you know, that kind of got me to thinking a little bit. And I'll ask you the question tonight, young person, old person, whoever you are. You might be an old person, and you still haven't gotten on the right track. And maybe tonight would be the last chance to get on the right path, the path that leads up to the glory. The Lord Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many that go thereon. But narrow is the way that leads up unto life, and few there be that find it." I came from a city of 7 million people, and I found the path that leads up to everlasting life. And tonight I can rejoice as I sing this song, and I can say, "Shed for me." I'd like to bring it right home to number one. Let's sing it together, number 34. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels and for sinners, shed for me. Precious blood that hath freed us all of my sins. To the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We're going to talk about some sheep tonight. And this tells us something about sheep in this chapter. In the sixth verse, this is the big point that you and I need to lay hold of. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Oh. A young man says to me some time ago, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." I said, "That's right. And that's what the heart says. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's the sinful heart speaking. And Jeremiah 17:9 tells us about the sinful heart. And that's the kind of a heart that this old grandpa up here has got tonight. But thank God I got a new heart one day when I believed in the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And if you don't have the new heart yet, you're not going to be, when the Lord comes, you're not going to go up. You need a new heart. The Lord can say, the soul that sinneth that shall die, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. What have you done with God's salvation? Have you laid hold of it? Can you say that man that hung on that middle cross is my Savior? He shed his blood for me. Have you made it number one? Me. As the little song says, on the cross for me, dying there in agony. Jesus paid the price, himself the sacrifice, where? On the cross for who? Number one. Make it number one tonight if you haven't. Say, me, Lord. The Apostle Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus, if thou shalt believe in thine heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That means I submit. He's my Lord. He has the law. He has the rule over my heart, over my life, over everything. He's the one that loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul says, makes it so simple. He says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Where did he give himself for the Apostle Paul? It was on the cross of Calvary. On Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you and I are the answer, beloved, that believe in him. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. That's what it's about. Saved from what? Saved from the guilt of your sins. But let's read a little here about the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is the iniquity of us all? What does that big word mean? I've got to get down to the size of the little boys and girls. What is the iniquity? Do you know? Oh, I'd like to tell you, it's your sins. It's when you're bad, when you're naughty. There was a 12-year-old boy came to my shop years ago. I used to be a paint body man. I used to fix dents in cars, you know. People would smash up the car. Sometimes the car would get smashed up pretty bad. And sometimes when they brought that car that was wrecked into the shop, I would ask them a pretty serious question. One fella, he came into the shop one day, and the whole under part of the car was all twisted out of shape. I said, what happened? He says, I was going down the freeway at 85 miles an hour, and he says, all of a sudden the car went out of control, and I spun out three times in the medium, and I hit a culvert. I said, I want to ask you a very personal question. He was 19 years old. I wonder how many people here today are 19 years old, you know? And I said to him, if you would have been killed, where would you be right now? And you know what he says to me? Really? He says, I never thought of that before in my whole life. I said, you know where you would be? You would be in a lost eternity because of your sins. I said, you know you and I are sinners, aren't we? And he said, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, he was right. You know what sin was? Sin is lawlessness against the majesty of the heavens. God, the Lord said, this do and thou shalt live. The Ten Commandments. One fellow says to me, well, I tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I said, how many of them have you broke? He says, well, I don't like to think about it. I said, neither do I. The Apostle Paul says, if I just break one, I go into the lake of fire just by breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Because the law said, this do and thou shalt live, that's all. It didn't say anything about heaven. It didn't say anything about eternal life. It just said, this do and thou shalt live. And they said, all that the Lord God has commanded, that will we do. And what was the first thing that happened? They started worshiping an idol when Moses came down off the mountain. Yeah, we got the promise keepers nowadays, you know. Watch out. Don't you be a promise keeper, because it'll never work. What you need is the precious blood of Christ to cleanse you from half of your sins. Half of them? I was in the prison and a big black man came into the Bible study and had a great big Bible. And I thought, oh boy, this guy, he wants to let everybody know that he's religious. I mean, you know, I was thinking that. I didn't say it out loud. But I thought, you know, some people, they like to carry a big Bible and let everybody know. Hey, I'm glad one. If that meant that I would win a soul for Christ, I would have a great big one. But that isn't the way it works, you know. God looks at the heart. God doesn't want to look at you and figure, well, this guy must be all right. He's carrying a Bible. Some people carry a Bible and they use it for the wrong purpose. Anyway, this fellow came in, a big black man. Oh, he was probably a basketball player, you know. And I said to him, that's a nice book you got there. He said, yes, sir. I says, do you know the author? He said, yes, sir. I says, oh, that's good. I said, you know Christ is your Savior? He said, yes, I do. You know, he was a good yes man. I like to hear that. I want to hear more yes people. If the Lord was to come this afternoon when you go up, and I'd like to hear the answer, yes. And I'd like to ask you, how do you know? And you'd tell me. You know, and it would ring true. Anyway, this fellow, I says to him, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from half of our sins. I was putting the test on him, you know. Some people, you don't know how to test them. Well, this is one way I got, and I found out works pretty good. He says to me, wait a minute. And I mean, he raised his voice at me, you know. I said, what do you mean? He says, oh! I mean, he yelled it at me. I said, that's what I wanted to hear. Praise the Lord. That dear man, he was real. Are you real tonight? I was going to tell you the story about the little 12-year-old boy came to the body shop one day. And he says, mister, can I watch you paint the car? And I said, sure. What are you doing that for? And I was banging the dents out of a fender or something. He, you know, he was a nice little 12-year-old boy, you know, nothing else to do and playing, you know. I thought to myself, here's a fish. You know, that's what we call them when they come around and you want to get the gospel to them. I just call them a fish. You know, you brothers that are interested in the gospel, you know what I mean. The Lord says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of what? Men, right? I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, right? That's the song, see? I learned that song when I was a little boy. And thank God, you know, I've had a lot of fun fishing all my life. I used to catch fish, you know, in the ocean. Once in a while, I still try, but it's more fun catching the two-legged kind that walk around on the beach or anywhere you meet them. Even in the airplane, I catch fish. I mean, I fish, you know, trying to catch men. Anyway, this little boy comes in the shop, and I says to him, let me ask you a question. What kind of people do you think go to heaven? And he stood there for a while, and finally he said, good people. That's the stock answer, you know, good people. I wonder how many young boys and girls that are here today, if I asked you what kind of people go to heaven, what you would tell me. I know some of you would just say saved sinners. See, that would be a good answer. Well, this little boy said, good people. So you know what? I asked him the next question. I said, did you ever know anybody that was good enough to go to heaven? Searching question. And you know, I thought he would have a quick answer, but he didn't. He stood there for a while and he just kind of, you could tell that he was thinking. Some people, you look at him, you don't know if they're thinking or not, but this boy, he was really thinking hard. And finally he says, no, I never did. I said, I never did either. I said, but I want to tell you how poor sinners that are defiled with their sins, they're like the lost sheep. And the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost sheep. And I said, one day he saved me, but you know how we get saved? We get saved by believing in what the Lord Jesus did for you and me on the cross of Calvary. When they nailed him to a cross and they said, away with him, crucify him. He died on the cross for me. And I told that 12-year-old boy about the cross. You know, I haven't seen him for many years. That's a long time ago. But I hope to see him later. You know, it's something like fishing. You get the hook in, and you say, okay, Lord, I got the hook in. You got the line, Lord. Pull them in. He might go around the earth a couple of times before he gets pulled in. But you know, when you fish with God, it's wonderful. It's something like what an Ecclesiastes says there. He says, cast thy bread upon the waters. What's the waters? You know, the waters, where I live, you could put a boat in the water and you could go all the way around the earth. It's the sound, Puget Sound. And that water, if you got on a big enough ship that would sail, maybe you'd take a little boat from the dock and then you get in on a big boat and the big boat would take you all the way around the world. The waters of the world. What does that tell you and me? God says you go into all the world, wherever you go, preach the gospel to every creature. And then Ecclesiastes, you know, I didn't have the gospel in Ecclesiastes. It's wisdom under the sun. What are you and I supposed to do under the sun? You and I have the privilege of working in this world and reflecting the love of Christ and telling them about the great treasure that you and I have in our hearts. If we're saved, if you're not saved, you don't have nothing. You don't have anything. Look at that. I used two negatives, didn't I? You don't have nothing. That means you got something? You know, sometimes I get mixed up in the language. But the main thing is get the thought across that God loves the sinner. And we like sinners, we've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And we're ashamed. We're ashamed and we're angry. We're angry at ourselves. You know, there's a verse over there in Ecclesiastes I want to read you. But we didn't get that far yet. We're still talking about the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. I want to read some more about it. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 6. Verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. That was my Savior, way back in the Old Testament. One time I was hitchhiking from high school home, and the man picked me up. I found out he was a Jewish rabbi. And I was about 17 at the time, and I said to the Jewish rabbi, I says, so you're a rabbi? He said, yeah, I'm a rabbi. I said, you know, that's interesting, because the Jewish people have the Word of God. They have the prophets. And I said, in the prophet Isaiah, I'd like to ask you a question. He says, certainly. I says, it says over there in the 53rd of Isaiah that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I quoted this verse because I learned it in Sunday school. Always try to learn all the verses in Sunday school that you can. Don't ever think you get too old to learn the verses, because you never know how the Lord's going to give it in your heart. And you one day you meet somebody and you think, what's that verse? What's that verse? And I had the verse, so I quoted to the Jewish rabbi. I said, do you know who that man is there in the 53rd chapter? He says, that's a godly Jew. I said, indeed, he's a godly Jew. He's my Savior. His name was Jesus. And he shut his mouth. He didn't say another word. And when I came to get out of the car, he just opened the door and he didn't say goodbye. You know, he didn't like it. You know why? Because God has blinded the eyes of the Jewish people. But anyway, I had a little hook. I hope it got in. You know, I was just a boy then, but I've learned that hooks can catch big fish. My father told me, he says, son, my father was a pretty good fisherman. He used to get small hooks and he would get thin leader and he would catch fish back in Long Island where I came from, and they were called weak fish. And he would use this very small hook. And he said, when you get the weak fish on, they call them weak fish because they got a weak lip in their mouth. And if you pull too hard, the hook pulls out. You ever heard of a fish like that? Weak fish, yeah. And they're good eating. He says, you can catch a big fish with a very small hook if the line is long enough. I love it. I remember going in the ocean and we get the salmon on and they would run. Sometimes we would have to start the motor and chase them. They would swim a quarter of a mile before they slow down, some of those big salmon. But as long as you had long enough line and you could let the line run against the drag, and they would go zoo, and the pole would go like that, you know, and he would be running. And pretty soon he would slow down. Then you would get him a little bit at a time. Pretty soon you pull him gently, gently, gently. You get them up by the boat, and then you net them. You got a landing net. You scoop them in the net. And some of those salmon were pretty big. How do we fish for men? Something like that. Only the Lord holds the line. And that's what I love about this, about the instructions that the Lord Jesus gave. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. And every one of us is different. We're like in this room, everyone is like a different snowflake. No two snowflakes alike. And so the little song that we sing, Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you and your small Connor and I and mine. And some people use a bigger hook, and boy, they really get them on and they pull them in. I don't have that ability. I got to use small hooks. I'm trying to give you a picture, beloved, to encourage you that are saved. But if you're not saved, you're like that sheep that went off in the mountain and the lion got it. And all that the prophet could write about, all I saw sticking out of his mouth was the legs. What a picture of destruction. Are you going to be like the sheep that went out on the mountain? And the lion ate you up and all it shows the last few bites is the legs sticking out of his mouth? That's what the prophet talks about. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And so the Lord Jesus, he looked down from heaven and he saw you and he saw me. And he said to his father, oh, I want them. I want them to be with me in my house. The father says, you can't bring them here because they're in their sins. The hymn writer says, all our sins. So great, so many. But then he says, in thy blood, in his blood are washed away. Conscience now no more condemns us. For his own most precious blood once for all has washed and cleansed us in the eye of God. Never mind about the eyes of men, that don't count. The eye of God counts. God had said to his people of old, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What was he talking about? There was a requirement that the sins of those people, they had to get a lamb to sacrifice and shed the blood on the lintel, the doorpost of the house. And the angel, this destroying angel, came over. And God had said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 what it says there? No, it's, yeah, chapter 5. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Have you applied the blood? Tonight's the night. I got to tell you about the little girl. Last summer I was up there and way up in Newfoundland. I was with Brother Cecil Rusink, and we were having a wonderful time telling the gospel to the children. And the brother got up and he told about that verse in Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess him as Lord, Jesus as Lord. A lot of people talk about Jesus, but they don't call him Lord. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, no man calleth Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is striving with you tonight. If you're not saved and you're feeling a little uncomfortable, I hope that you're wiggling so hard that you can't sit still, that the Spirit of God will reach your heart and your conscience. You say, I want to be saved. You just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve one thing but judgment, but you died for sinners, and I qualify. If you say to the Lord, I'm a sinner, that's the way you qualify. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save good people. Wrong. Did he come into the world to save people that paid their bills? Wrong. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you say that you're a sinner, that you want to get saved, and you say, yes, Lord, he'll save you. The little girl was sitting next to me in the tent there in the meeting, and the brother was telling about saying, Lord. And it was the last meeting of the week. She'd been coming about most of the week, I guess. And after a while, she would sit next to me. I was like Uncle Bob to her, you know. She was a sweet little thing. She told me she was 6 years old. I wonder how many little boys and girls we got here tonight that are 6 years old. Well, I'm not going to make you put up your hand. But anyway, she was 6 years old. And you know what she told me after the meeting? She looked up at me and she said, this morning I said, yes, Lord, to Jesus. I tell you, that just lifted my heart up. I was really excited. I'm still excited. I hope there's somebody tonight that says, yes, Lord. That's all it takes. Yes, Lord. that God hath raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Apostle Paul says, let's turn to it so that I wouldn't misquote it. You know, sometimes I don't quote it right. These are such exciting things to talk about that I get ahead of myself. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read from the first verse. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Isn't that wonderful? "By which also ye are saved." You want to hear the rest of it? I can hardly wait to tell you. "By which we are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye had believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Ah, there it is. Christ died for who? For our sins. What about our good deeds? Not one of them. They don't count. The prophet says, your righteousness is as a bunch of filthy rags. Filthy rags. All of you, your good works. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. He died on the cross for our sins. In the Gospel of John, it says a soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. The blood before the eye of God, the water to cleanse. Where the water and the blood from thy riven side was flowed, be of sin a double cure, save from wrath. And keep me pure, the hymn writer said. What is it that keeps me pure? It's the water of the Word. And you know, when I come over after I'm in the household of faith, I come over and I find out that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you get saved tonight, you'll be in the church that he purchased with his own blood, according to Acts 20. One fellow said, "What church do you belong to?" And I said, "There's only one." He said, "Which one?" I said, "In Acts 20, it says the church which he purchased with his own blood." And I said, "If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a member of that church." "Oh," he said, "I thought you belonged to some denomination." I said, "Tell me which one I should belong to, according to the Word." He said, "I can't tell you." I said, "I can't tell you either. But," I said, "if you believe in Christ, you'll be a member of the one church that the Lord Jesus purchased with his own blood." He says, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I lay it down of myself. Why did he lay his life down? Because he loved you and he loved me. That's what the story's about. Oh, that's the side of the gospel, you know. We might talk about the terrible judgments, and true they are. But you know, I'd like to tell you about the love of God, because the Lord Jesus looked down from heaven. And he saw you and me, and he says to his Father, "I see her down there. I see all of those all of those that I love." The Father says, "They're all in their sins. You can't have them in my house." And then the 14th of John, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." You know where the place was? Was the cross. That's where the way was opened up to heaven for poor sinners. The Father looked down in the past eternity and he said, "She's in her sins." He's speaking of the church now. It says, "Christ loved also the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself." Present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Sometimes we lament the condition of things in the world about the testimony of the church. The Lord says, "She's glorious. She's beautiful. I love her." But he had to go to the cross to bring her there. And the Father says, "Only one way you're going to bring her here is to go down there and pay the penalty of her sins." It says he was forsaken of God and afflicted, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You and I are the answer. The poor sheep that went astray. And we said in our hearts, "I will not. I will not." What was it say there in that song? Shed for who? Shed for rebels. What's a rebel? What's a rebel? It's somebody that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's a rebel. You know, we've all got rebel hearts. Jeremiah, he tells us by the Spirit of God, by the faithfulness of God, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? You. Where's the money? What happened? And all that. Nothing happened. I never even got an answer from the letter. I know he got the letter all right. In those days, we didn't have the telephone so quick, you know. So it just happened. One of the guys around there, he come up to Norfolk, where I was stationed at the time, waiting for the transfer. I said, whatever happened to Joe? You remember Joe in the fire department there on the base? And he said, sure. I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I gave him $80 to get my car fixed. Oh, Joe, yeah. He said, you know, he told all the guys that he was going to have a party in town, and that he went down to this saloon or whatever it was, and they all had a big party. He said, and everybody was wondering where he got the money, because Joe never had any money. Don't you put confidence in men in this world here. But he told me he was a Christian. But you know, he wasn't real. That's not the Christian conduct. You know, the Christian is supposed to wear what is called the breastplate of righteousness. We have it. But do we use it? That fellow wasn't wearing the breastplate of righteousness, was he? I learned a lesson, though. There's only one man you can trust. That's the blessed Lord. I'm not saying we can't have confidence and trust our brethren. But I just tell you one of the sad incidents. There's a lot of people, they say they're Christian, but they're not real. And when you bring the Word of God to bear on them, sometimes you find out. The apostle says, by which also we are saved. Wonderful. Wherein you stand, the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand. Wonderful. By which also you are saved. Now let's go over to John 5. That's one of those nice verses that I think a little boy or a little girl could lay hold of, because it's the word of the Lord Jesus. And you can't go by my words, because all I can do is read the word of God. The Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 24, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Life? What kind of life is this? It's so wonderful. It was in John 10. The Lord Jesus could say, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God calling to you, telling you that he loves you? In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then what does it say? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What is the Lord talking here? Passed from death unto life. You and I are dead before God as sinners, without God and without hope in the world. And in the second chapter of Ephesians, it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world, where is it going? It's going to the pit. It's going down to the lake of fire. But narrow is the way that leads up unto life, and few that be that find it. How do you find it? Here's how you find it. Have you heard his word? He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And that life is everlasting, according to John 3:16. And I believe it. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Have you settled it yet? I've settled it. When I was a boy of 14, I still remember I went and I heard the gospel one night, and the man says, who wants to take sides with Christ tonight? Raise your hand. And I didn't believe in the idea, you know, but I got to thinking, I want to take sides with Christ. He says, if you really mean it, raise your hand. And so I raised my hand. And I didn't feel any different. All I did, it was like saying yes. It was a crude way of saying yes. You know, even in the school, sometimes they ask the kids, all those in favor of going, taking the afternoon off, raise your hand. You know what would happen. But if she said, all of you that would like to stay till 5 o'clock to study, raise your hand, then you know what happened. It wouldn't, right? I raised my hand, and I thought, well, now what? He said, now, if you really meant to stand up and be counted. So I stood up. I said, I really mean it. He said, you tell the Lord that you really mean it, and indicate that by standing up. And I stood up. And I don't know what else happened. I didn't feel any different. But the week before, I had argued with my Sunday school teacher, and he said, Bob, you're right at the fork in the road. You need to make a decision whether you're going to follow the Lord or go down the other road of the world. And I got the point. Because the Lord Jesus made the same point when he was here. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereon, but narrow is the way that leads up unto life, and few there be that find it. You see the idea of the fork in the road? You know, I thank God for that Sunday school teacher. He was a faithful man. His name was Fiedler. Some of you here know him, Albert Fiedler. Thank God he's with the Lord now. I expect to see him shortly, though. And oh boy, are we going to have the singing time in the heavenly choir. We're going to sing the praises of the one that died on the cross for us. We're going to praise the Savior. Ye who know him, that song is going to be echoed up in the glory in a way that you never could believe it would ever happen here. Because it couldn't happen here, but it'll happen there. We'll praise him for his who he is, the glorified one. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches and honor and power and glory. That's one of the songs we're singing. You see, I know the words. That's in the fourth of Revelation. The one in the fifth is talking about redemption. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Just think of all the different saints are going to be there from every part of the earth. Some of them from the islands, some from South America. You name it. They'll all be there. One purpose. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. No worthiness to us. The Lord says to the disciples, ye are they which have continued with me. In my temptations, they said, we're unprofitable servants. We'll say the same thing. And so what does it say here? The next verse says, verily, I send you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're going to hear the shout. It's called the resurrection. I just want to read about it in closing. There's a great if in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. There's a wonderful big if. And I want to leave you with the thought of the if. Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if what? If we believe. That's the point. You don't have to do any of this other stuff that they want you to do around us. Give money. Say some kind of prayers to the priest. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. You believe that? That's what the gospel is about. The Lord Jesus went into death, and it says he was buried, and after 3 days he rose from among the dead, and he was seen of 500 brethren, and after 40 days he went out to the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe it is, and he went up to heaven. And that's where he is now. And one of these days he's coming back, and this is the narrative of his return. Let's read it. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that your hope tonight, beloved? That's mine. I expect to leave any minute. If the Lord was to come before the meeting's over, I'd go up. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what it says. In John 3, the last verse says, He that believeth on the Son hath life. But the next verse is, He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How long? How long is hell? How long is the lake of fire? It's forever and ever and ever. And the Lord said, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Hell. Well, let's read a song and let's sing a song in closing. Let's read, let's sing number 35, and we'll sing the first verse. Well, no, we ought to sing the other verses too. Number 35. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath saved me.
Will not care.